You're listening to Sideshow Network.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night.
What up, Sharp Tongers? Jesse May Peluso up in your ear. Happy election day. That was a small burp. There's a little bit bigger one. Okay. Happy election day. This is the anti-election election episode. I will not be talking about politics. I'm done. I don't give a fuck who wins. We're all up Schitt's Creek, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or a goddamn painted turtle. We're all screwed. Okay? Move to Iceland and live your life. I refuse to talk about the political race. It's just not my steez. So this episode, you're not going to hear that. How about that? I'm not going to make you listen to that bullshit. You are going to hear some realness on this episode, though. That's for sure. Like, you're going to be listening to some legit shit. We going in deep. But let me tell you where I'm going to be at. And also winners for the Canadian Werewolf giveaway from my Halloween episode last week. I asked you guys to tell me what a Canadian werewolf is, what you would call it and what it looks like. And you guys are insane. A lot of fun responses. I am performing live comedy. And this week, November 10th, 11th, and 12th, I will be in Helium. I'll be at St. Louis at Helium Comedy Club in Missouri. Saturday, November 19th, I'll be at Cherokee Casino in West Siloam Springs, Oklahoma, with my boo, Andrew Williams, who opens for me often. Then Syracuse, I'm coming for you. The Funny Bone, November 23rd, 25th, 26th, and 27th. All tickets are available at jessiemay.com. I give away tickets to every fucking show because I know a lot of you work your asses off out there, and I like to give back to my fans. If you would like to win tickets, send me a meme of me. If you don't know what a meme is, fucking Google it. I want a meme of me. Send it to sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com, and I will pick my favorites, and I give tickets away to every show. And I even give tickets away to the losers because everyone's a winner. How about that for some switch shit? I've had quite the week. I taped a pilot show on last Friday with Kelly Osborne, Adrian Bylon, and Damian Dante Wayans for VH1. It was a lot of fun. I can't tell you all the details of it, but hopefully it goes. I've shot a lot of pilots with a lot of different people, and this one was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was wild. We had a studio audience. We played a lot of games. I was balling out. I had a good time. My man showed up with Chaplin. I felt like a princess. My boyfriend brought my smallest dog, the smallest of the three, to come see me at work. And Chaplin is now fucking humping Bunny. I don't even think Chaplin has had sex before. I don't think he has. Unless he did prior to me snatching him from the shelter. I don't think he's fucked. I don't think he knows how to fuck by the looks of how he just mounted Bunny and then ran away. He just ran out of the room because she denied him. And now she's going after him like, what a bitch. Bunny, play hard to get, man. He just mounted you very poorly and you're going after him. You got to get some self-esteem, man. These pound puppies, I tell you, they have no self-esteem. But yeah, I got my booze. I'm just chilling with my puppies. We hanging out. We doing our thing. I haven't smoked weed yet today. I'm doing a new thing called Weeds Day, which is every Wednesday. I will do a Facebook Live of me rolling a joint and smoking and answering questions. Last week I did my first one and rolled a pathetic joint with my joint roller. Pathetic. Just beyond pathetic. It was the most pathetic joint I think I've ever rolled in my life. But every Wednesday, Facebook Live, I'll try and be around 420 as much as I can around that time. So go to my Comedian Jesse May Peluso fan page on Facebook. Like it. Throw up a like on that sucker. Please rate and review my podcast. I appreciate all your support, you whores. I appreciate all of it. Y'all are lovers. Okay, that's what I'm all about. I'm not all about this hate. Keep your hate for somebody else. I am too cute to be hated on. Come on now. Have you seen my little shins? Seriously, have you seen them? They are the boniest shins in the world. Wait, hold on. Let me go grab something. You guys, hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm coming. So, I have to tell you guys. Wait, I'm going to fart. Let's see if I can capture my fart. Hold on. Okay, so we got that out of the way, and last week, Avery Pearson was on my Halloween episode, my special Halloween episode, where we got blazed out and talked. We tried to talk about Halloween, but we got high and went on a bunch of, you know, cognitive tangents. So I hope you enjoyed that episode. But we did something. We started talking about Canadian werewolf, and I don't fucking know why. But then we were like, what's a Canadian werewolf look like? And I offered to give away my iPad and iPod. And then I thought about it, you know, I'm going to give those things away, but I'm really concerned about you creepy motherfuckers going through my shit and trying to unlock my iPad and trying to get into my shit. So I got to figure out a way to do that so that no creepy motherfuckers go sifting through my personal shit. I'm going to erase it to factory settings. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to just really, really try and figure that out because I don't trust you motherfuckers. Remember a minute ago when I said I love everyone? No, okay, so I'm giving away my iPod and my iPad. They are used, but I figured instead of trying to sell them on Letgo, I would give them to somebody who hopefully needs them. I know there's a lot of broke college students out there. There's a lot of broke people in general. So I figure you guys can use them more than I can, and you're fucking welcome. There were a lot of submissions for the Canadian werewolf, and a few of you got pretty fucking creative. I have to say, I was pretty impressed with your ability to come up with a Canadian werewolf idea. George Neves sent me a photo of Drake dressed as Teen Wolf Aubrey. Oh my God, so good, George. You're not the ultimate winner, but I'm definitely going to send you something. I will contact you, but you are a winner for sure. And who else sent something here? Kayla Wilgen, Canadian werewolf. He has a plaid shirt on and denim pants. Yo, broke college student would benefit from an iPad, by the way. Kayla, you know what? You're not the ultimate winner, but I'm definitely going to give you something as well, because you sent me an email and your picture's adorable that you attached with it. I really appreciate it. And the fact that you sent it twice just to make sure that I got it shows commitment. And, you know, I think you're going to be successful in college. And if you're not, there's always comedy. Then there were a couple of you that posted on Instagram, I believe. Mike Heck. Canadian werewolf is a wolf with a trucker hat holding a cup of Tim Hortons coffee, even though he said Time Hortons. He is wearing a hockey jersey and jeans. Very descriptive, Tim. It's like you're describing a scene of a murder. Joe Arson says Canadian. He used the hashtag properly, so he's definitely going to win something because of that. How about the maple wolf? It apologizes after it attacks you and smells like syrup. I think that's fucking hilarious. So those are my, all you guys are my secondary winners. My ultimate winner and fan, super fan, because she's somebody who I see pop up on my timeline from time to time. There's already a word for Canadian werewolf, ... It's Eugene Levy, and a photo of Eugene Levy, who looks like a motherfucking werewolf, just as him as a human being. Best ever. Jamie Morse, you win. Avery and I were dying when we saw this. So funny. You are going to get the iPad and the iPod unless you're feeling generous enough and you want to split ski with the broke ass college student whose name escapes me, but I will go right back. Kayla Wilging, unless you feel generous and you want to gift her something, I'd be down for that because she's a broke ass college student and I'm always trying to help people out. But Jamie, you're my winner. Everybody else is going to get some shit too sent to them as well. Thank you guys for playing. Next week, send me a Jesse meme. I don't get creative. Put me on a dick in outer space. I mean, that's usually where I land in my sleep, but whatever you want to do, send me a Jesse meme. Use that hashtag Jesse meme, JessiMeme. You can send it to me at sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com. You can post it on Instagram. You can post it on Twitter. I'll look for it everywhere and pick winners the following week. Also, make sure to hit me up if you want some tickets to my shows. That's how you're going to get it, yo. Send me that meme. I'll give tickets to come see me live. Hashtag Jesse meme. sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com. What else is there? I don't want to miss anything. Fuck the election. You know, this is an insane year, and I don't know who the fuck's going to win. Like I said, we're fucked. So treat each other right and save your money. Put it inside your mattress, old school style. Don't let the man have it. This episode, I interviewed a fellow comedian. And so he's not necessarily a friend of mine, but I know him. We've run into each other a bunch of times, and I respect his hustle. And I asked him to get into his darkness. You know, I wanted to tap into the comedic brain and what makes us tick. And a lot of comedians start off with tragic beginnings to get us to perform on stage. So in this episode, we cover, you know, eating disorders. We cover cutting. We cover Pitbull as an artist. We cover Parkinson's disease. And we talk about the luxury of doing what you love to do for work. We covered a lot of stuff. And I hope you enjoy this episode with comedian Matthew Broussard. Tonight's the night. Let's live it
up. I got my money. Let's spin it up. How do you describe? Okay.
A,
and then he's like a bodybuilder. So how would you describe him? What's a word?
Is the word start with A?
No, ends with A, actually.
Oh. Okay. God, it's one of these things, like, when you get it, you're so fucking pissed. I'll be pissed.
It's a little, no, I don't think it's, like, that simple. It's not gonna, like, hit you on the head, but when it
so
clicks,
do you
clicks
sit hard. And think of these fucking puns?
No, I cannot. That is, like, the biggest waste of time.
Let's see who this is.
It's actually, it's like thinking of jokes.
Hello?
Hi, this is Julia. Congratulations. Your business has been pre-approved for a $250,000 small business loan.
Oh, press good.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Oh, great.
You made it.
$250,000 loan for my small business. I am my small business, bitch. Okay. Can I get a hint?
Starts with a B. To describe someone who's very muscular.
Buff.
Yep.
I know
it. What's the answer,
Brian? Buffalo. Oh, it's one big thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
Each
know that.
Word. Sorry. Yeah, seafood buffet.
You're autistic. We circled it around. Are you recording?
Yes.
I should take my gum out. Hi, Broussard.
Hey, Jessime. Thank you so much for having me. Is it Jessime or Jessime? I never...
Jessime.
Jessime. Okay.
Yeah. I just had
but
this
you
conversation.
Don't correct people.
I don't... Oh, because it's like, who cares? You know, you get the gist of it.
Yeah.
I had this conversation. I did a pilot the other day.
It's a great name.
Kelly Osborne, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I thought you were going to be black because of Jesse May. I don't assign names to ethnicity.
Well, I was hanging out with this name drop.
Do it. Let's just name drop the whole episode. The whole episode we're name dropping.
The whole episode. And I say this phrase very often of like, oh, Shalia and Tanisha are going to be there. And those are the two friends of yours. The blackest pair of names I can think of. Though Shalia is the whitest person
Shalia
I know.
Shalia sounds like a white girl.
Oh, really?
White girl name to me, yeah.
When I say Shalia and Tanisha,
Tanisha sounds black. Tanisha Long?
Black. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Tanisha.
And
Shalia Evans.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I see
girl
you mean
code.
My girls. Yeah.
Yeah, Shalia watched, what's it called? We watched Westworld last night. Are you
Yo,
watching it?
That one, wait, what was the opening show for the opening episode of Westworld? I know what it is, but I just can't. I'm watching six shows at once right now. It's like
you're like a chess master TV playing crack. All these different games. And it's just, what are your shows?
Okay, my shows are Black Mirror.
Okay,
have you watched that?
I've watched one episode.
Holy! Did you watch the pig fucking one?
No, because everyone spoiled it for me because I know how it ends. Is it still good? Even if I know he fucks
those
the pig.
Those assholes! It's like an hour. Can't they just cap it? Like, let you have a little bit of mystery in your life.
I mean, I know about the pig fucking, and that's it. Like, because everyone's like, "Whoa, the pig fucker episode!"
And I know, and I just said it.
Yeah, I know so many. But I saw the second episode where with like the very dystopian where they're on bikes.
Yeah, they're on bikes and they have to earn their like coins or whatever.
Oh, that was
and
sad. Like, the porn thing was like really sad of like watching a girl you love and like horrible porn. That's such a nightmare.
There's so many. I don't know how they've managed to master like the futuristic ideology of what society's going to come to. To me, it's like that could happen. That's why I can't sleep at night.
Does the show get better over the seasons? Because that episode was a little cheesy. It was a little plastic.
That one I didn't really like.
Yeah.
The bicycle one. But there's so many other dark ones. Like the last one I watched last night, I couldn't go to sleep after. It kept me up.
Oh,
White
dude.
Bear. That's the title of the episode. That's all I'm going to tell you. White Bear.
Black Mirror, White Bear.
Heller.
Okay. What season is that?
That's like one, I think. You got to watch it.
Have you seen Ex Machina?
The movie.
Yeah.
Yo.
I watched I took edibles on a plane. It was an international flight. And
good
I watched that
you.
Movie. And I was like, oh, I'll just watch one movie and then sleep for 6 hours.
No. Nope.
Could not
nope.
sleep. Because you know what was the most disturbing part? Okay, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the movie, you can shut off
We'll let you
seconds.
Know there's spoiler alerts this whole episode.
You realize at the end when he's stuck in the compound, he has no parents. No girlfriend,
that's right.
No siblings.
He's
no
got
one's coming for him.
No one's coming for him. He's in
Which
the middle
the
of the fucking woods.
Most disturbing part, yeah.
He's in the middle of the fucking woods.
He just dies out there, yeah.
And it's also disturbing that they made the robot, like, I know it's like the female robot, but they also made her, like, cold-hearted.
Really, like...
just and manipulative.
Yeah.
And
bad bitch.
Bad bitch. Like, don't fuck... Do not make a baby with this one. Don't do it. Okay, so I'm watching that.
Don't
stick AI. Your dick in CP3O's pussy. I went old school. I'm watching Parenthood. That was a network TV show with like Craig T. Nelson, the chick from Gilmore Girls.
How long ago?
I think it's like from 2006, but I need it to balance out all the darkness that I watch. Do you watch like dark shit?
I like dark.
Because Westworld's kind of, it
dark.
Teeters on that.
Oh, it's very dark.
Yeah, it's dark because I think it taps into what happens.
Yeah, you're
or
like,
what could
you
happen.
See imagine having to see your like parents get murdered and your boyfriend die every day.
Every single fucking day.
Literally thousands of times. He says you've died probably 1,000 times. And it's like every time Dolores just watched him die.
That's a lot. I mean, talk about PTSD.
Did you watch last night's episode?
No.
It's good.
See, I got to get it. There's too much to watch. Don't you feel overwhelmed by all the television?
I was talking to my roommate about this yesterday. People
is your roommate
were like,
famous so we can name drop?
No.
Let's pretend.
He's a great guy, though.
William Shatner, your roommate.
My roommate, Jaquanza, I don't know.
Shut
I
up!
I wouldn't have liked that.
That sounds like a holiday.
Johnny Montgomery the fifth?
No.
I think he's the fifth, yeah.
He's a fifth?
He's a fifth.
Can
and
they mix
six
it up?
Six. Blonde, icy hair. He's
what is he from? Lithuania?
Glass. No, he's from Chicago.
Congratulations.
He's a great guy. He's just the biggest character. He's just a human smile.
How much pride and ego does this family have that they've made five of the name?
A bit. It's a good family. I don't know. That sounds awful. They're all successful, like great people, charming, all different. But we were talking about like people are like, hey, you have to watch this show. It's really good. I'm like, the more you tell me it's good, the less inclined I am to watch it. Tell me it's okay.
Yeah, because
tell me I'll
be
able to walk away.
Yeah.
I don't need of like, you want to smoke weed? You want to do heroin? I'm going to start smoking weed because I can quit at any time.
Yeah, don't start
I don't
start
need a
me.
Good show.
Yeah, it should be just like, you just watch it. That's what they should say.
Yeah, just.
Also, everything's so good.
Meth, not even once. It's like that. I'm just like, don't watch the pilot. Don't, or you're in. It's so good. It's like, what a weird complaint. Like, TV is too good right now.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
And that's why people can't focus.
I don't do Game of Thrones. I don't need that in my life.
You should leave.
I don't need them. Oh, really? I have weird addictions, though. I mean, I'm like.
My strange addiction, what is it?
I'm really into cartoons. I mean, it's not that weird, but Adventure Time, the passion people have for Game of Thrones, I have for Adventure Time, plus maybe 50%.
But you also draw cartoons. You think
I draw? I sculpt a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're interrelated. Of like, I've just always, the way I describe this to people, the way you feel when you see a puppy that you want to bite it. It's
how do you
so
know
cute.
That? How do you know I want to like attack puppies?
There's a German word for it, and I don't know what it is, but it like translates to cuteness fury,
cute aggression,
or something. Yeah. Yeah, where you literally want to squeeze something because it's so adorable.
Yeah, the German word is Hitler.
It's most German words. Haagen-Dazs and Hitler, those are the two. I'm feeling such Volkswagen for this golden
Volkswagen.
Retriever.
God, such Mercedes Fury for this cute Labrador.
I get that for like certain cartoon characters. Or like when I see a cartoon character really, I have to sculpt it. Like I have to
you
make a little
sculpt?
Yeah, I've never showed you. I do little clay characters.
I've been doing it for
like 20 years. I've been doing it a long time.
What have I been calling you since I've met you?
Autistic.
No, but also like I'm talking about like when I first met you. Do you remember what I called you? And I've used this for a couple people in my life.
No.
Serial killer.
Serial killer. Yeah.
I have you've a got joke. That likeness, and you do have a joke about that.
About
whole
making the sculptures and seeming like a serial killer for it. And because I'm not like, I don't wear glasses, I'm not, I this sounds annoying, but like I'm too Abercrombie looking to pull off nerd. Like, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, you are too.
And I don't mean that I look Abercrombie, but just in the range of things, I don't get to like, it's not nerdy or quirky when I do it. It's just kind of weird.
What
like,
is
very, like, very Patrick Bateman when I do it.
You are Patrick Bateman. You're like, you're the talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What is your like darkness? Do you feel like you have darkness in you? Because I always feel like every comic that I've ever met has some sort of kernel of darkness that is the thing that fueled them to take stage.
I chip on my shoulder big time from high school. Like, bunch of rich, beautiful kids, never really had friends. Wasn't picked on, but just didn't have friends. No one invited me out to parties. I've always wanted to prove them wrong and surpass them. And I still get that, like, that vengeance boner where you're just like, I'm doing better than all of you. I'm actually chasing a dream kind of thing.
Why
and
didn't
they're
you
all,
have
they're
friends?
All in real estate. I don't know. I attribute it to being, I mean, you see my lack of social skills. I've learned to make it somewhat, like, personable. But, like,
you mean, like, you feel like you're awkward socially?
Not. I mean, awkward would, there's two kinds of awkward. There's awkward where you're like, I don't know what to say. Or like there's awkward where you just have no filter. I feel I'm more the latter. I don't realize that I'm saying things that are off color or strange.
Right. That could be an autistic thing.
That could be. I mean, I just get it from my mom. My mom's just a Jewish mom where you just don't, where like someone will walk by and like, you know, you're supposed to go like 3, 2, 1 and then whisper, oh my God, she was so fat. My mom would just be like, she's like not even half second, oh my God, she's so fat. Like, she can still hear us. No, she can't. Like, that kind of stuff.
So you definitely, see, that behavior thing is learned. That's a learned behavior.
Yeah,
I
Jewish
fart
mother
a lot.
Syndrome.
My dad farted a lot when we were kids.
Yeah, my
like,
dad loves
I fart
fart
everywhere.
Jokes.
My dad loves fart jokes.
You farted on me before.
I sure did.
In the green room.
You're welcome.
In Dallas. Thank you. It was, I still brag to people about that. You signed the fart. No.
It didn't.
No.
And that's the one thing I let people know that it's rather, you know, it's noisy, but it's very seldom aromatic.
Yeah, no, the quiet ones, and there's a physics to it. The quiet ones are way worse.
What's the physics?
That a flapping butthole is a fart sound, which means it's literally closing and opening, which means less volume of gas can get through. Open means it's just an open channel.
Oh, man.
Far, far form of gas more leaks out.
God, it's like the dam. The dam has been let open. That's terrible.
Yeah, versus something sputtering, like a balloon sputtering, versus if you just pull the balloon open and just...
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's my theory.
Okay,
now, but my dissertation on the subject is not... The research is not complete, but...
I have to take notes. I always take notes because I want to remember... Because we get into conversations sometimes, and I can't remember all the things that we talked about, and I have to make key points so people can look at this episode and be like, oh, they talked about farts.
What's your darkness?
My dark... See, I want to get more into, like... Because... No friends in high school. Yeah, I can chop that up to some darkness. But, like, I'm talking about, like, darkness. Like, mine was first sexual experience I ever had. I was raped.
Wow.
Darkness.
Didn't know that.
I'm sorry. Well, it's something that I talk about on the podcast, and I have jokes about it. I'm still developing it. I definitely want to put it into my first special. But it's a sensitive subject because...
Yeah, you might still be too attached to it. A lot of times people are like, oh, it's such an emotional thing. I could write 20 minutes on that. I'm like, the more tied I am to it, the harder it is to write about.
Yeah.
I can't talk about my dad having Parkinson's very well.
Does your dad have Parkinson's?
Yeah. He's
There's
got
a
like,
darkness I'm talking about.
That's the. If you want to know the darkness is like my dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's when I was 12. He's like, if he survives till March, we'd be surprised. He's at the very end. He's in a home right now. Oh. And the worst part, no one tells you this, he's gone mentally. We don't know if he's there. You can talk to him. It's hard to get answers. There's moments where it's like, he sits there and you're like, he's physically just not nice to look at. It causes you to really shrivel up. He's down. He was 6 foot at his full height, and now he's 127 pounds, gone up from 116. Wow. And he was going to pass away last March, but we put him on a dose of antibiotics. We all kind of had a conflict about that.
Must be hard to decide what to do with this care. How many siblings do you have?
I have one brother, and he was the one. This is probably too personal, but my dad's brothers were there, and they advocated to keep him alive. My brother advocated strongly to keep him alive. My mom and I were like, let's let him go right now. We have a chance to when we're all here.
Right.
And even, I'm sorry, apologies to my family for saying this, but now we're all kind of in agreement. If that happens again, we know what to do. And my mom and I have agreed in silence without my brother around, we wish he had gone then.
Yeah.
It just would have been a better wrap up because now he's there. And that's the shitty part about that he's exists, but it's like, that's not the man he was. My dad has a PhD in physics. Was
Holy
the
most,
I mean, came from, here's, he might be autistic. I've always thought that. He came from this poor, poor family in Louisiana. Right, he had his parents. English wasn't their first language. No one in his family was educated.
What was their first language?
French. They were Cajun.
Okay, that makes
Cajun.
Sense.
People don't realize Cajun's a really
It's an interesting language.
It's an interesting culture.
Culture's
because
really
so few. It's they're white. Remarkably high rates of teen pregnancy and lack of education, and they never escape. Like you don't see Cajun people go on to become president or CEOs.
No, they definitely are centered around
escape.
Where they stay down there. And the language is influenced by so many seven different languages, right?
That I'm not familiar with, but it's its own thing basically.
That's
it's
wild.
French, but apparently France sent emissaries because I think you know where the Cajuns came from.
Where's that?
It's France, hundreds of years ago. I'm not exactly sure when they moved to Nova Scotia, the French. So that was their Plymouth Rock. So there were French people up, and that's where you have French Canadians.
Right.
And the English came into Canada, took over the country, and they kicked out most of the French. Those French sailed down, and that was Arcadia. They sailed down the Mississippi to Louisiana.
They're like, where the fuck is this place?
We gotta go somewhere. Yeah.
They landed in fucking Louisiana.
They were in the swamp. Yeah.
Ah,
and Arcadia became Cadian, became Cajun. And they became separated twice from France.
Wow.
So imagine going to Australia and getting kicked out to New Zealand kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how separate the culture is from French. My dad came from this Cajun family, and he was just a quiet kid who just read a lot and never wasn't a great student, but just clearly had something going mentally that he was just sharp. Don't know where it came from. Still don't. I'm not saying that they're intelligent people. He's just his aptitude's crazy high.
Yeah.
Especially for math. And
where did he go to college?
So this is the story I love. His last day, one of his last days as a student, the teacher said, "Hey, go sign up for a PSAT. It's $2. If you go sign up right now, I'll let you leave class early today." So he was like, "Yeah, sure." So he goes and signs up for it. Takes it. National merit scholar. Gets to go to college for free. First
Holy
person in his family
fuck.
Go to college.
So your dad was a genius.
Very smart guy. Fucks around, education major, pre-med, and then he takes one chemistry class. He's like, that is fun.
Yeah.
So then he buckles down, gets a degree in that, I think took a year off, and then got his PhD at UT, where a freshman named Ann Grusin needed a chemistry tutor her freshman
Ooh,
year.
Ooh, and then
and
Matthew
then my dad
Broussard
on
was
Jerry,
made.
I met my girlfriend in Austin, too, which is cute because that's where my parents live. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and I was 11 or 12. And then one thing that always got me, my mom's a very cynical person. Her brother, who was 10, 12 years younger, got hit by a drunk driver in college and was in a wheelchair and mentally handicapped the rest of
Your
his life.
Your poor mom.
Yeah. Yeah, she's had it really rough. I try to, I go to Atlanta a lot. And people go to see your dad. I'm like, no, my mom just needs.
Yeah.
Your mom needs someone around.
And people don't, I feel like so many stories are centered around the person that it happens to, which is understandable. But the people who are caring for that person experience so much trauma on a different level.
Mm-hmm. And my mom handled it for a little while there by lashing out at the people around her.
I'm sure.
And everyone's like, she's being a bitch. I'm like, she's going through so much.
That's why
have some sympathy. I know she's being mean to you, but just absorb it. Let her beat you up a little.
You never know where people are coming from. Yeah. Like, and I always try and think about that just in my daily existence, just going from A to B. Like your mom, for instance, like maybe her and I would cross paths and maybe she'd be a bitch towards me.
Yeah.
In my mind, my first reaction, my gut reaction and instinct is not to respond at her level. It's to be like, this lady's got something going on.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like a lot of compassion is missing in society. And so she had her brother that was paralyzed, and then she met your father. And then how long from the moment they met till Parkinson's?
A long time.
Yeah. It seems like over a decade, right?
Oh, I mean, no. My mom was 41 when she had me.
Oh, shit. Okay. So at least they had some time.
Together.
Okay.
They had, I mean, what? She was 36 when my brother was born. So they had 15 years together before they had any kids. And they apparently, I'm hearing stories now from my cousin, and I didn't realize them, of like, oh, they were the coolest couple.
Oh, man.
They just did. We didn't even think they were going to have kids. They just went on vacations and they did just awesome stuff together. And then had kids later. So my dad was diagnosed at 59.
So you're 12? 11, 12?
So. 11,
and
12.
So did you, as a child...
Which means he's had it for 15 years, by the way, which is a long time.
So you've seen the devolution, essentially, of your father.
Yeah, and it's every time you think it's bad, it gets worse. Like, that's what's been marked with over the past, 4 years have been horrible, because it's like, I guess maybe 5. Every 6 months, you're like, wow, this is horrible. I'd give anything to have him the way he was 6 months ago. And then you say that again in 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Man, that just gave me chills.
Ugh, it's the worst. It's a terrible disease.
I can't. It is such a... The way it advances is just so... It's mind-blowing what it does to somebody.
Yeah.
I saw someone go through Lou Gehrig's disease.
That's what I was talking with my
a
friend
similar
about.
Similar situation.
Nicole Schreiber and I were talking about, like, her father has it too. And we're like, is Parkinson's the worst? Well, it's like ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, is fully physically degenerative. So you see their mind stay and their body fail. Alzheimer's is purely mentally degenerative. So you see their brain fail. Parkinson's is just
an awful mix.
Awful mix. So it, like, really, my dad, it was all physical for a while, and now it's mental. So it's like severe dementia at the end. So you see both. Yeah,
man,
I don't like any of them, so I'm not gonna rank them against each other, but
that's so hard. I'm sorry that you had to experience that and still are experiencing that.
Yeah.
And does any part of that come to play in your stand-up? Like, are you touching on that, or are you too close to it?
I don't know, it doesn't fit. I just did my first album. It doesn't fit the kind of happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
I've realized that so much. There's so many things I have to be, like, mindful of when I do stand-up. There's so many things I can't get away with.
Yeah.
Because of who I am and the character I play on stage, that I need to kind of be bright and happy. Yeah. But none of my jokes come from, like, attacking people.
Right,
most of them come from, like, things I enjoy and revere.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And that's kind of a trend with comedy. Like, good comedy lately, it's not like, these fucking millennials. It's a lot of, like, you look at, like, Ron Funches. It's just bright and happy. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you can do both, but at least just be speaking a truth and not...
At least be speaking a truth,
Not just... For me, like, the end goal of being funny, that's a part of it, but I feel like being genuine and, you know, at least finding some sort of thread of honesty in what you're trying to say. Or even hypocrisy, showing some sort of hypocrisy, because there's truth in that.
Yeah, and leave having... You want people to have fun.
You want them to have fun.
And leave
and
feeling better.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of being nasty in comedy, especially self-deprecation, is ultimately to make people in the audience feel less alone.
Yes.
That is why we... Yeah. That is why we tear ourselves apart. When you think of the comedy that really got you into stand-up, you're like, man, I feel...
I don't feel so crazy.
I don't feel so, yeah. There's other people out there who've suffered through that. It's the point of a lot of art, music.
It really
and movies.
Is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked about this with a couple other podcast guests where, like, that whole notion of having to be, like, the angry comic and bring all that pain to stage. I feel like that it works for some people, but that can just, for you, I feel maybe it's the fuel for you to perform. It's not necessarily the vehicle that is, like, apparent on stage. It's just a kernel of, it's like the ignition for you to be a performer,
because
you're not necessarily talking about Parkinson's, but I'm sure that pain has, I mean, since you've experienced it as a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's other things too. There's other darkness.
More darkness. I love darkness.
For some reason after college, I had my first year of college, I had a kind of a eating disorder, and I wasn't, I wouldn't.
Really? As a guy? That's interesting.
Yeah, and as a guy, you don't even get that skinny, and you can still be miserable. I wasn't eating after 8. and I was kind of over-exercising, and then it was a terrible cycle of, like, you feel horrible, so you go work out, and you skip meals, and then you feel worse, and you're like, oh, just keep doing that, and it's, you don't realize one's at it. It's really, you're dumb at that age. You don't know what your body's telling you.
Yeah.
And then not getting enough sleep, and I went to a really school for me that was really difficult, and picked a major was really difficult, and I was suddenly going from top of my class, like, I'm struggling to be in the bottom quarter. Like, so
from the eating disorder.
Yeah, just from being distracted. And it was the first time with drinking, and drinking fucked me up emotionally. I didn't realize how much that tires you out. And I had that. So I ended up, I also cut myself a lot at that age.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how old were you?
18.
Damn.
And I stopped after that. And then this is not like a very inspiring thing to say, but like when I hear people talk about depression, and I know my experience isn't everyone's, but like I went through a tough time with that. I don't know if it was clinical depression, but like I started getting more sleep and eating better and not treating my body like shit.
Yeah.
And a lot of it went away.
Yeah. But it's hard. The balance is very difficult. Yeah. And it's like eating disorders are so common. I feel like especially in American culture, just because of the way our marketing and the way our society puts stuff in our face, and we're constantly comparing ourselves.
Yeah.
And now so even more, because everything is based in comparison.
Yep.
Social media, all of this stuff. And so do you feel like you're good? Like you're, that's not an issue anymore for you? Or do you sometimes feel like you could have...
I'm good. I'm so much... I mean, I'm like... No, nothing. Like, I'm like the average soccer mom's level of like compulsive about exercise, and that's it. I'm like, I went 2 days without exercising. Like, that's it. I'm good. I value eating right. I value getting enough sleep. I value, you know, healthy amounts of exercise. I've seen extremes of that I didn't like. So.
Those three things are so fucking vital.
So fucking important.
It's like, those are the foundations for basic health. And it's like our career, our lifestyles, I'm sure you feel the same, is so inconsistent.
Yeah.
It's so hard to have a routine. Don't you find that?
Yes. I mean, people are like, I'm on the road a lot now, like half the time.
Yep.
And my girlfriend lives in Austin, so I'm there. And I come home, be like, oh, you come home, you're going to hang out. And I'm like, no, I'm going
to... Homebody.
I'm going to go... I've become that.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm going to go to the gym at 9:15 and work out, come home, make a smoothie, drink coffee, sit around, like, just be... And I'm going to go to sleep at fucking 11 p.m. And it's like, that is like my fantasy now.
It's difficult, I think, to...
Eat so much spinach.
Yeah, just eat spinach. And that's all I want to do when I come home. I just want to, like, be with my dogs, go to the beach, get some exercise, eat a fucking avocado.
Eat so many vegetables.
I just,
stuff myself with vegetables.
But then in the same breath, I will, like, Saturday, I ate pizza all day. All damn day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
You like drinking, right?
Not anymore.
Okay.
No, I'm edibles and weed now.
Me too.
Yeah.
I've been that way for a long time.
Yeah.
That's the thing that gets me. This is so judgmental, and I'm so sorry to people who are really dealing with something hard right now. But I do see this big thing with depression. A lot of the people identifying themselves as, you know, depressed in the comedy community. And I see those same people like going out and drinking or even doing cocaine. I'm like, hey, like if you're like working out in high heels and complaining about knee pain, are you gonna get knee surgery or are you gonna maybe get some running shoes?
Yeah. How are you gonna resolve that problem?
Yeah, you should. And I know one thing leads to the other. I know depression leads to substance abuse, and substance abuse leads to depression. But like, fix that first before you start taking Zoloft. Like,
it's hard. You know, it's hard. My father has dealt with depression for years. Mm. He's been on Prozac since Prozac came out on the market, and he's been on it for probably 2 decades. And there's some people, and I know you know this, where depression. It's such a word that I feel has like become like this buzzword, like a headline word.
Yeah, like people nerd.
Yeah, exactly. Or just, you know, like whatever. And people don't realize the catacombs that people get stuck in when they're inside of it. You know, it's so hard to get the fuck out of. And it's so easy for some people to be like, well, do this, do that. That shit is really fucking difficult.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it's clinical, you need meds to get out of it.
My mom.
And that's okay. Your mom's on meds?
It's made her so much better. Yeah.
Oh, it really, you know,
though that's
meds
more grief than depression. I'm not sure what that is. But
but there's such a stigma against some Western medicine to help for these certain types of ailments. And for me, like, I don't even like to take a motherfucking Tylenol. I haven't been on birth control in 15 years, but I feel like medication to help you just live.
Yeah.
That shit's not so bad.
Yeah.
For me, it's weed, though. Like, I love weed.
For me, it's I drink caffeine. I drink coffee like I'm trying to build an immunity to caffeine.
Yo, you into French press?
I what? Actually switched to AeroPress recently.
What the fuck is that?
AeroPress. It's great.
Is
it's
that
one
sponsored
cup?
By Aeropostale?
Yes.
Remember that story? I steal shit from them all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to steal shit all the time.
Aeropostale. That's so fun. AeroPress is like French press, but it's like, it's a little thing. It's way easier to clean. That's people like, French press is so great.
Such
like,
a pain in the ass.
It's like, oh, if you want to make coffee in 30 seconds and then spend 7 minutes cleaning it.
Yeah. And then also you can't put it down your drain because that shit's no good. You got to dump it out.
Oh my God. Did you watch Avengers 2?
I don't think I did.
There was a great scene where they're all meeting. They're gathering at like Tony Stark's house. And they're like, we need to stop this this force from destroying it. Hey, who put coffee grinds in the disposal? This isn't a bed and breakfast for Vikings,
you
fucking savages.
That. Those grinds will ruin the disposal.
They need to be better about that.
Yeah. You know what's fun? Is if you live with somebody, like my boyfriend's with me right now, mm-hmm. He lives with me, I put the grinds in the toilet sometimes. He lifts the lid, he's like, babe! I'm like, sorry, Taco Tuesday hit me hard this morning.
AeroPress.
AeroPress. I gotta check it
out. It's like
a
small little, it looks like a penis pump.
Hey.
And you can like, when you're done, you put like, you basically, it's like a tube. You put a little filter paper at the bottom. You pour coffee, like grinds in it. You pour hot water through it and it pours out just one cup.
Yeah.
You press it through. And then when you're done, you unscrew the thing and you just pop out all of it in one little like cake.
Can you get organic? Because I'm all about that organic.
You can put
coffee.
Whatever grinds you want in it.
So you just get your
it's
own
like
grinds.
It's like an individual French press, Fuck. But it cleans itself basically.
If somebody out there has an AeroPress company, send it to me. I will use it and pump it on the podcast.
They should be doing podcasts. That'd be good.
They should be.
Hey, I feel bad that I don't mean to criticize people who are actually dealing with serious depression. I've never dealt
with
that. No,
it's fine.
But it is interesting seeing the variety of reactions.
Dude, you just told us about your father with Parkinson's, your uncle who's paralyzed, and the fact that you've dealt with, you know, having eating disorders. I think you're fucking fine.
Yeah.
You don't need to apologize, you know? Okay. You're all good. And I think it's important to share this shit. Like, I'm not just trying to pull stuff out of you to get juicy topics. I think what I have found is talking about this real shit, people connect to it to more,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to find some sort of salvation through that stress, you know?
Like,
imagine how many people... Know somebody with Parkinson's. Know somebody who's paralyzed. Know somebody who has eating disorders. That was cutting.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. What did you cut yourself with?
Oh, so in high school, it was. Here's the thing. I want to preface it with this. If anyone's listening, it's a very, very.
Hope somebody's fucking listening.
No, any who cuts themselves. Sorry. It's a bad thing. Stop doing it. Can really, really, really. It seems really innocent at the time. It can really get out of hand really quickly, and you should really seek help for that. And you should really, and I know this because when I heard people talk about it, like in Eminem songs, it glorified it. I'm not trying to glorify it.
In Eminem songs?
Oh, Stan. Sometimes I cut myself to see how much it bleeds. It's like adrenaline in the pain. Just, and there's the sad part is it really does very temporarily solve your problems when you it's a rush you get that it just. You can go from just crying, sobbing to like, I mean,
it's
just
like
heroin. It feels so good in the moment, but it escalates so
quickly. I love it. Like,
so
stop
quickly.
Doing it, but fuck, it feels good.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the shitty part about it,
yeah,
but it escalated. So I started with scissors, and then I started, what I did was would take razor blades apart, like Mach 3, and those blades are really sharp.
Yeah,
and
they're fine.
It would just go right through skin, and I remember I would do it, and I would do it in places where no one could see it. I would do it just little... cuts just
like little nicks,
yeah, maybe like an inch long. And then I remember one time I was dealing with, I don't know, it was sometime during my freshman year that I was like, I'm gonna cut some veins and see what happens.
Holy fuck.
And I went deep, but not enough to cut some veins, and I still have the scars from it, and I'm not proud of that. I'm not glorifying it, but it got to that very quickly.
I feel like you need to write a book, because I feel like you've already at this juncture in your life, you've experienced a lifetime of
I was a stupid
scenarios
kid. It went away so quickly that I don't consider it like a legit. I mean, it was like 2 years of my life, and it was, and that after that night, I was like, I can't keep doing, like, that was bad. That was a bad decision. I woke up the next day with like, I ruined my favorite shirt, which seems like innocent, but your head are like, that's
that
irresponsible. And I was so selfish. Like, looking back, I was like, well, I die, whatever. Like, I never thought about how my brother and my mom and my dad would, like, that. They would never be the same person again if something happened. They would never ever be happy, truly happy again.
It's so interesting how you accumulate, you accumulate wisdom.
Yeah. And God. And it's like, I would have never started comedy. Like,
yeah.
I didn't start comedy until I was 23. Like, God, like, I wish I could be like, dude, life will be
We had to clean all the blood amazing. Off your shirts until you could get on stage. Yeah. Can't be on stage.
We're long sleeves now. Oh, that's where it is.
Oh, wow.
In there, too.
That Yeah, that one's pretty gnarly on your arm.
And I still have to make up stories about it when people ask about it. So.
Do you?
Yeah. I think I say climbing a tree or something.
I think you need to make a joke about cutting on stage. I think that'd be really progressive.
Such a hard thing.
It's such a hard thing, but you know, that's the job.
I also don't
want
to sound like I'm... I have a big, big fear of sounding like me trying to be like, I'm just like you guys. I don't want to like make it sound
like I did it for
attention.
Well, you don't have to approach it like that.
I kept cutting. Like, I didn't even tell people I did. I didn't tell a single person I did until like 2 years ago. This is when I'm 28 now. It took like, yeah, it was
yeah, it's hard to come. You know, I didn't tell. I told my mom about my being raped just within the past 5-6 years. It's just, those are hard things to talk about.
Did you ever talk? You haven't talked about it on stage.
I have.
Okay.
Bits and
how
pieces.
Recently?
The most recent was probably...
I'm sorry. How early did you start talking about it on stage?
Let's see. Probably about 6 years.
Around the time you talked to your mom.
Around the same time, yeah. And I've just, you know, been going back and forth with it. Like, it's not something I keep in the rotation regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that is... I want to be a big chunk, but like you said, I have to find... It's a sensitive subject, so you have to find the right cadence in a delivery to make it digestible to people where mm-hmm. they don't feel... They can feel bad for you. I think having the audience feel something is a goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's an accomplishment. But you don't want them to feel more sympathy than they feel connection. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You don't want them to have their...
You want
to
bum them out.
Yeah, you don't want to bum them out. So the balance is still being figured out. Like, that way is mm-hmm. still being figured out.
Yeah, it's tricky.
But it is really tricky. But, you know, I think the approach, like you saying, like, I don't want to make them feel like I'm being like, oh, I'm just like you guys. You know who like, as a comedian, who I just respect so much, I'm sure you do as well, is Tig Notaro.
Yeah.
When she came out and just laid all those fucking bombs on everybody.
I still don't understand how she did that.
I don't understand how she got through it. I don't understand how she was able to...
What was it? She got dumped, her mom died.
Dumped,
and
mom
breast
died,
cancer.
And breast cancer within like...
2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she went on stage to talk about it.
Yeah.
And you look at her going on stage, she didn't write jokes. She wasn't writing out a set. She just spoke from her experience.
I'm so far away from that as a comedian.
Well, that's okay, but it doesn't mean that you're never going to get there, you know?
God, I don't know.
I think, like, comedy is similar to life in the sense that there are stages to it. I feel mm-hmm. like there are eras to your performance. Not you, but
anyway,
you as in general.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I'm sure you've experienced that too, where you feel like you graduate. You know, like, you start off and you're still trying to find your voice and you might not be so funny, and then laughter starts to happen. You're like, oh, I'm good at this. And then you figure out your pattern. Then you figure out your voice. And then your voice, when you first figure it out, may not be the thing that it's going to be to bring you to that next level. And then you get to the point where you start to get to that next level and you really find your voice. You
yeah.
really find what your comedy is essentially about. And I think for people like you and I, where we've experienced real shit that have humbled us, that's the shit that is the core of everything. Even if it's not something you bring to stage, I still believe it is something that is the driving force behind what we do. And that's why I believe in stand-up comedy so much, because just in this podcast, we're both comedians. We met through stand-up comedy. You and I wouldn't be here if not for that. We're talking about serious shit, but it's still digestible.
Yeah.
We're going to help people. And that's like that, to me, that's the biggest goal. And that's the biggest accomplishment I could ever hope to have. That and like, four houses and shit.
I don't know. My mission statement's so weird. Right? I just did my album and I'm restarting.
What's it called?
Pedantic.
Pedantic?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us.
It's weird because I kind of, I'm 5 years in. I put in an album because I got, you know, a chance to, and I'm like restarting, and I don't know. You said the word pattern. You and I'm like looking at my old patterns to like, what did I talk about and how did I talk about? What was the structure of that joke? And part of me is like, fucking do something
yeah.
new. And my girlfriend said that to me last night.
Do something
like,
new.
And she was like, you got to try different stuff.
Yeah.
And I got like really insulted.
Of
like,
course.
This is really sensitive and you're calling me redundant. And I want my like second album to just be like a replica of the first.
No.
And it's like, I don't know where to go.
It's all about evolution, man. You got to look at what you did and set it and forget it.
and go into uncomfortable zones. You know, go into places that you are afraid to discuss.
Yeah.
Go into areas.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've never said this on a podcast before. Well, I feel honored.
Yeah, I've never talked about eating disorders or cutting.
Light topic for a Monday.
I'm not like, here's the thing. Yeah, right? I'm not like ashamed of it. Like, as a comedian, you don't have much shame. Like, it's really weird of like, is this a sensitive subject? Like, I'll tell you anything. Ask me anything about myself, and I will tell you. There are very, very few secrets I keep because I'm like at peace with most of my issues. But I know what people think of me, for better or worse.
Yeah. But the one thing I will say about you that I feel, just from knowing you the little bit that I know and my impression of you, you're sensitive to opinions, and I feel like you have pride. Not like too much, but you have
too much for a comedian, for sure.
You have a lot of pride, and you're sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got to tap into
that. I'm not sensitive.
Yeah, what the fuck? I'm not even trying to coach you. I'm just trying to talk to you as somebody who's on, you know, the level of a stand-up comic and figuring these things out. Yo, ever since I've been smoking more weed and taking edibles, I feel like so connected to patterns and figuring things out. And I just want to like share that with people. You know, I just want to like, because it's so hard to see that self-reflection. Because even when you look in your reflection, you're not seeing what the mirror is showing you. You're seeing your perceived image, things that you've experienced throughout your whole life. That's what you're seeing back. And people who experience life with you, they're seeing something totally different because they're removed. It's an unbiased reflection. Like, what I see right now is not how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the irony of that is I may be seeing a truer form of you than you're putting out.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think for your next album, yo, tap into that shit. Do your next album on edibles.
Edibles just kill my ambition.
Do they?
I'm like, that's a good idea. I should write it down.
And then do you get like really sleepy on edibles?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's why I take edibles to sleep now.
Yeah, they're very helpful.
Except I wake up like...
You wake up like Chewbacca.
Yeah. Just, did someone turn up the gravity underneath my bed? Like, everything's heavy.
Why am I in the center of universe?
I tried mushrooms for the first time recently.
How was that? I haven't done that yet.
Not as spiritual as I was hoping. Sensory.
Really?
It was my first time really having it happen. Sensory. Beautiful, wonderful, fun experience. But
like,
wasn't like the
heightened?
We're all connected. Everything looked cool. And I was with someone whose company I enjoyed.
Yeah, that's important, I think.
Very, very important. Good location.
Like, you're supposed to feel calm.
Yeah.
Where was the location?
At an Airbnb outside of, in like kind of a nowhere rural area, in this little upstairs lofted one bedroom space.
So it was just like a cozy little place.
Cozy, yeah.
Yeah. And how long did the high last?
I don't know, 3 hours?
Four hours? And then how did you feel afterwards?
Zonked, but.
Do you have like a glow? Does it have like a glow like kind of edibles do? You know, afterwards, where you just kind of like, wow.
I feel a calm down. Not like depressed, but just like.
You
feel
tired.
Everything's buzzing and gray a little bit. Yeah.
See, after edibles, I feel like I just want to spoon everyone.
I love weed. How long have you been smoking?
Years, but more recently, like, because I haven't been drinking as much. Weed has just sort of stepped in, and I don't really smoke every single day, but probably for the past 3 years, it's been more a part of my life and has become a character in my almost daily existence.
How long ago were we? Because I featured for you in Dallas a little while
ago. Was it a year ago or 2 years ago?
Maybe more than two. Yeah.
It might be a little over two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the last time I went to Dallas was last year, was with Martindale.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think it was 2 years ago that you were there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you weren't there with me in Martindale, were you?
No.
Yeah.
We were Carly.
So it was before that.
That was when I met
both
of you.
Yeah, it was with Carly. So yeah.
Yeah.
That was a while back.
A while back.
And did you start smoking weed then?
No. I've been like slowly upping it. I didn't start till like after college.
Yeah.
Because
it was
around.
Too.
Yeah. With comedy, it was around so much, and like drinking, as you know, I had a day job and I'd be out at open mics and I was like, I'm not going to drink with you guys because I have to wake up for work in the morning, but I will. If someone's going to offer me a joint as I'm walking out, like in the parking lot of a, you know, an open mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It's hard not to drink, man. You know, I'm not saying like, oh, I got to have a drink. It's just everywhere.
It's everywhere. You know, it's weird and I forget. I don't enjoy drinking. It doesn't do much for me.
I don't enjoy it anymore, man.
I never really did. And I forget this. I have acid reflux. I get heartburn very, very bad every day of my life.
Are
I'm medicated
we 90?
For it. I've had it since I was four.
Fuck.
Yeah, I have it like, it's like a medical thing for
you
me.
You poor thing.
No, I'm so used to it, and I just take medicine for it, and I just avoid certain foods.
So many delicious foods have acid.
they don't taste good to me. My brain has built up like a Pavlovian thing where it's like, when I see a glass of whiskey, I don't like, I feel the burn in my stomach already. So I'm just like, that doesn't seem fun.
Yeah.
When I see a turkey sandwich, I see something that looks like it tastes good and it's not going to cause indigestion later.
Yeah, see, I see a glass of whiskey. Yeah. I see whiskey and I see, oh, that's going to be pregnancy soon. I finished that, motherfucker.
I see hangovers, too. Yeah. I get so bad.
So weed is like such an amazing thing, man. But
it's nice. I'm seeing the downsides of it now, though.
Like what?
Grogging it. Like, I'll smoke before I go to sleep. This is a weird thing that happens to me. I think because of my size and because of just my metabolism, I process things faster and like half the speed of like the normal person. So if I smoke before I go to bed, I sleep really well. But then like 4 or 5 hours later, I wake up like really alert, like Whiskey Dawn. But with marijuana. So the only thing that really helps is edibles. Edibles will last a full 8 hours. But then I wake up feeling sluggish.
What kind of edibles you got going on? Where are you getting these things?
And I know my dosage, Kiva? Five to... My friend's sponsored by Kiva. Kiva, Speedweed.
Yep, Speed. Yep. I know Speedweed. I know Gino. Gino's
like
dope.
Chocolates.
Yep.
Do they sponsor this?
No. Yeah. Honey Bear Farms is my jam. They're a place out here in LA, and they got all organic shit.
Yeah.
It's really delicious.
Oh my God, it's so easy to travel with.
It's so easy to travel with. Yeah.
My girlfriend's like, oh, how are you gonna get that on the plane? I'm like, well, I'm gonna stick it in my bag.
And then I'm gonna go on the motherfucking plane. Because I'm a goddamn American.
And not just edibles. You can walk on with like, and it's just the plant. You can walk on with a plant.
Yeah, bring the plant. I'm bringing this to my aunt. Yeah. It's my aunt's plant.
Oh, my mom. I always bring some for my mom. Yeah. She never works for her. But
I got the spray.
Whoa.
Yeah, the spray is amazing. You get a little spritz under the tongue.
It's funny how sentimental potheads are. It has to be baked good. So, like, we could ground THC up into a powder and snort, but we want to feel like it's from the earth. They don't
so
make heroin
funny.
Scones. You know what I mean?
Like, you're not going to blow this into some girl's asshole.
Yeah.
We're going to make a blueberry muffin. Oh. We're lovers, man.
It's peanut butter. It's like,
you want a cookie?
It's a molecule. Get over it.
No, it's meant to be shared. That's like the energy of pot smokers.
Potheads.
Yeah.
And I am one. Don't get me wrong. And I love it. And
we gotta smoke together sometime.
We do.
Yeah.
I am a rare breed, and I've met other. I'm not like, oh, fucking, I'm so great at being high. I don't mind being around people high. I don't mind being around new people high, so long as I can actually talk.
Yes.
If it's a loud place where I can't make conversation, I'm a physically awkward person, so I hate that.
Yep.
But if I can actually like express my thoughts clearly, new people or not, it's not terrifying.
It's not terrifying. And then
it's not great all the time.
And it's fun talking to somebody who's high. Dealing with somebody who's drunk is a pain in the ass, man. You gotta deal with the vomit, the crying.
The worst. I'm sober. Doing comedy, you're sober around drunk people so much.
So much.
And they're barely humans. They're like zombies in a zombie movie. Of like, go away until you're a human again.
They're like a bunch of stepdads.
Oh.
Just a bunch of angry stepdads.
Oh, I want to talk to you about your comedy. I don't need to hear it.
I fucking love you. Come over here. Let me kiss you. Oh my God, you're fucking great. You want to come over?
Yeah, how are you sober enough to register half my punchlines?
I'm like, just take a drag of this shit and chill out.
Chill out.
There's so many people who I just want to have them. I literally just want to walk around with a joint in society. And when people are stressed out, just stick it in their fucking mouth.
People do react really differently to it, though.
Anxiety. Such a stigma. Here's one.
Such a stigma.
One mentality I cannot stand. Let me know if you share in my sentiment. When somebody goes, like, ask me if I like weed. Ask me what I think about weed, then ask me if I've had it. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, what do you think about weed?
It's fucking disgusting. I'll never try it.
Have you ever had it?
I've never tried it.
Okay.
It's like, what's that mentality?
Yeah.
How can you judge something you've never tried? And how can you be so adamant about not trying it?
I don't.
You know what I'm saying?
Drinking. It's drinking. Like, I'm like almost like prohibition. I think
that's how you feel now?
I hate people and drink. And like, not all drunk people. Like,
some drunk people are fun. My dad, drunk is fun. He's always going to fall. He falls. Falls a lot. I feel like I just sound like Donald Trump. My dad, he falls. He's the best faller. He falls a lot.
The worst is the people who think they're good drunks are the worst drunks.
Oh, yeah. I can drive.
I'm great. I'm so fun.
I'm the best driver.
I bring the party. Yeah.
I drive better when I'm drunk. What? That doesn't even make any sense whatsoever. My dad got a DWI when he was 73.
Whoa.
First and last, hopefully. I mean, we don't know. He's still alive. He probably could knock a couple
out.
Your
dad's 73.
My dad now is 78.
Wow.
My dad, my parents had me old.
How old?
My mom was how old was my mom? 40? Mom, no, even not that old. Maybe she was like 37. I'm 34.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad's 70. He's going to be 79.
Mm-hmm. We're very close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember, so, 41 and 46.
Yeah, my parents are older. But yeah. My dad, he got DWI. This is how stubborn my father is. The bar is less than half a mile from his motherfucking house. And he drove home, blacked out, thank God, crashed into a parked car. But, I mean, I was like, Dad, you 73 years old? Were you finally starting your bucket list now?
It's... drinking and driving so weird because it's so bad. It's such a horrible, horrible thing. Like,
oh, it's so
selfish.
I hear
jokes about it, and it's like, I mean, my uncle, like, that was someone hit him, and it's
yeah.
like, I'm not like, here's the thing, I don't judge people very hard for it.
I'm judging my dad so hard.
I should, but it's weird because that's a decision you make when you're drunk. We never talk about, like, you decide to drive when you're in an impaired state.
Yeah.
So it's not the person you knew who decided to drive drunk, typically.
Right.
It's the drunk version of them. And I look at drunk versions of people as another person.
Yeah. Oh, it's a different
person. The way I look
person.
At my dad as a different person now than he yeah, was yeah, before yeah. he had Parkinson's.
Totally.
It's like, it is a crime, but it's like, there's
it's
some
so
weird
hard.
Forgiveness that you give them of like, and part of me, it's like, yeah, don't drink so much and you won't make bad decisions like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I bartend for years and there's so much, such a responsibility for bartenders to monitor what people are drinking. I've had hundreds of people in my bar at once. I can't keep track of, you know,
bartending,
Tommy and Sheila that have been, you know, here since 5 o'clock after they got out of their financial job and they hate their jobs and they're drinking away their sorrows because they're both married to people who are terrible people and they don't want to go home to their cranky kids.
How much of drinking do you think is... I have really dark thoughts about drinking.
What do you mean?
I think drinking is like the... society has convinced me I'm going to be a movie star and I can't accept that it'll never happen because I'm 39. So I go out and drink.
Do you think that's what's happening?
Yeah, because...
Not everybody. Some
people.
Some people
everyone.
Just chill.
Not everyone.
Some people. Yo, I can go. I can have two margaritas and stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not. I don't have like a thing where I can't stop drinking. Let me put it this way. I enjoy some red wine. I will sit at home, finish a bottle of red wine, and watch Netflix.
True.
But that happens very infrequently now because I'd rather smoke a joint and trip out a little bit.
That's
I'd rather
true.
Sit there and have a conversation with my dog, hi, than, you know.
Now, how much of that, and this sounds arrogant, and I'm sorry to say this, you and I are doing the thing we love most with our lives. There's still hope for us that things are going to work out the way we planned, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I feel confident in that.
We're both doing okay. And that's a luxury. Very,
that is
very
a luxury.
Few people have.
That is
and
a luxury.
It changes the way you walk and stand.
Yeah, and how your farts smell.
Yeah. Delicious.
Delicious. Because we're eating healthy,
fragrant.
Organic foods.
And I look at a lot of my friends and like I'm still, because of that, because I'm still pursuing that, because I still have hope that it's going to work out the way I planned, am a child. I haven't matured. I haven't accepted the harshness of reality. Whereas my friends are like, my brother is married. My friends from college are married and they're pursuing day jobs and they've changed their dreams to more modest aspirations. They're still doing crazy cool stuff. My best friend's working for Skadden in New York City. He's a world-class lawyer and they're working in policy for judges and changing the world. But it's, you know,
I think what we need, we can't have everybody doing big things.
No, we can't.
Because there's a balance to society, but I see what you're saying where it's like the luxury of knowing what you want to do is such a, what a fucking gift.
Yeah, but I listen to Pitbull lyrics.
Fuck Pitbull.
But Pitbull
Oye
lyrics,
Loca, Venga Casa, Rail, 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 Rail.
Listen to Black Eyed Peas lyrics. A lot of those things are like people are drunk at the club and they, for one night, two
tonight.
Nights of the week.
Tonight's gonna be a good night,
exactly.
baby.
And it's like they get to feel like, I'm a rock star.
That's
true. I'm a champ. I get to be on a jet plane. And that's what drinking helps you feel.
That's true.
And that's a thing. I must sound like such a dick to your listeners.
I sound like a dick to my listeners every week.
I wonder how much, and that's not everyone, but I do wonder how much of like that influences why I don't drink. Of like, I'm
a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. A lot of your environment influences like what you do to your body. And the fact that you and I are
doing what we love is that's a big deal. And
I'm also,
you're also what?
I'm also a bitch when it comes to hangovers. I can't handle them. I'm like, my head hurts.
Yeah. I'm in bed for like a week. I'm like Linda Blair from The Exorcist. That's me. That's a hangover.
Suicidal. Yeah.
That's a bad hangover.
It's a bad hangover.
My head's spinning. I'm vomiting on priests.
Yep.
That's me after tequila.
That's why I can't do cocaine. I've never tried
I've
cocaine.
Never tried it either.
I would come down so hard.
Like, I would crash through a goddamn window and fly down the highway. I would be like Sonic the Hedgehog. Just jumping up in the air, grabbing gold coins.
I had to console a friend the day after he took Molly and cocaine and was hungover.
Oh, fuck. You were hungover and you had to console him?
No, they were all three of those things.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're like, I want to kill myself. I'm like, that sounds reasonable. I drank 3 cups of coffee and I want to kill myself 6 hours later.
We're living the dream, man. You got your Airespresso.
Yeah. AeroPress.
AeroPress. So, is that a brand?
It's a brand.
AeroPress.
It's like $30. Buy it online. Try it out.
I'm not going to buy it. I'm having them send me one.
Yeah.
And I'm having to send you a backup one.
Ooh.
AeroPress.
Okay.
Send us some shit.
Yeah, I'll just gift it. I already have one, but I'll gift
it. Yeah, you should so gift
it. Yeah, AeroPress. I highly recommend it. It's a clean French press and actually tastes better than French press.
I want one right now, man. That's my new tequila. That and a big blunt. We got to smoke a big blunt together.
We got to smoke a big blunt. Or edibles. I love, dude, my speedballing is just caffeine and weed now. When I mix the two, go for a hike.
Oh, don't you have life. Such great ideas?
I love it. And everything's so wonderful.
Everything's so wonderful and clear.
Now, weed, the weird thing about weed is it's a mood enhancer. I don't consider it an upper or a downer.
No, I don't either.
But if I'm like depressed and I smoke.
It'll sure do something.
It'll make it darker.
Yeah, I think weed captures you in the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like. When you're going through your time, like when you're scanning through photos on your phone, you can only see one at a time. That's what weed does to time for you. It just slows it down. You can only deal with the moment that is right there.
See, yep, that's true.
Does that make sense, or was that stoner logic?
No. That's a good way of putting it. You're in the moment.
You're in the moment. So whatever you're feeling, it sort of comes out.
Yeah, it gives me. It makes me feel like a child.
Yeah.
Like childlike wonder.
Yeah,
for everything.
That awe. It's all about chasing that awe, man. And I think like more people need to chase their childlike awe.
Makes you stop and be appreciative for one fucking second.
Well, I'm appreciative for you being on this podcast. Where can these cunts find you?
My new album is out. My half hour you can find on ComedyCentral.com or maybe Hulu. And the album's on iTunes. It's called Pedantic. I'm really proud of it. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then MondayPunday.com. I put out a new drawing every month. You've seen those.
Yep.
Yeah. I do. It's a webcomic every Monday. I put out a drawing that you have to solve. Example, caveman sculpting a vase is a Harry Potter. So puns like
that.
Oh,
got it. And you enjoy doing that shit. Because you got a touch of the autistic.
Well, it's puzzles are really fun.
Autistic.
Autastic.
I am
autastic.
You're fantastic. And you have, that's so good. You're autastic.
It's my second album.
That's your second
autastic.
Album.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, Broussard.
Thank you so much.
I love it.
I hope I didn't insult anyone today. And I understand that depression and alcoholism are real issues.
You shared some really dope stuff. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next time
very much.
I see you, we're going to have a fat blunt in our face.
Let's get high. You hike?
Let's get high. Hiking. Let's hike.
Bye. And on a pun. Bye.
It's me, Brave Michaela, again. I just wanted to tell you how my cannabis makes me feel. It makes me feel tired, like rest time tired. It makes me have the munchy munchies.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night.
Hey guys, it's me, Owen Benjamin, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast. It's called Why Didn't They Laugh? Right here on Sideshow Network. Each episode, we look at moments that a joke fails. Moments that we don't want to relive, but we will, because we learn from it. And it's kind of fun. And we're all kind of sadistic. Why Didn't They Laugh? With me, Owen Benjamin, every Wednesday and Friday. You can download it. Be sure to rate it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or check us out on SideshowNetwork.tv/OwenBenjamin. I love you.